I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Acts this morning. The book of Acts. Now, tonight, the Lord willing, I'm going to bring a message regarding some great and important questions. You know, the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon and ask him some hard questions. And he opened his heart to her and revealed to her the answers to these questions. And when she heard all that Solomon said to her, she said, "The half has never been told." So tonight, if you come back at 6 o'clock, I'm going to deal with these great and important questions. Now this morning, let's look at Acts chapter 11. Acts 11, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 21. Acts 11, 21. "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad. And he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord God. For he was a good man, Barnabas was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people were added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled together. They assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians." The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. What were they called before Antioch? They were called Christians first in Antioch. What were they called before Antioch? Well, I'll tell you. Faith in Christ, love for Christ, and relationship with the Lord God through Christ Jesus was called the way. It was called that way. Let me show you that. Turn to Acts chapter 9. Here's two or three scriptures that tell us what they were called before Antioch, before they were called Christians. It was called the way. Now listen to Acts chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. "And Saul of Tarsus, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, he went to the high priest and desired of the high priest letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were women or men, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." If he found any down there that believed this gospel, that believed in Christ, that were walking in this way, I'll bind them hand and foot and bring them to the authorities. Turn to Acts chapter 22. "And when Saul of Tarsus was brought to know Christ, and the Lord saved him, he gave this account of his conversion." Acts 22, verse 3 and 4. Acts 22, verse 3. I am verily a man which am a Jew. I was born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia,
I was brought up in that city at the feet of Gamaliel. There were two great teachers of Judaism in that time, and this one of the greatest was Gamaliel. And Saul says, I was brought up sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, and I was taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and I was zealous toward God as you are all this day. And I persecuted this way, the way of faith, I persecuted unto the death, binding and delivering unto prison both men and women. Now one more verse. Acts chapter 24. Acts 24 and verse 14. This is powerful here. Listen to this. Acts 24, verse 14. But this I confess to you, that after the way, this way, that way, which they call heresy, the way that the Jews and the Pharisees and the Sadducees called heresy, after that way, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. Christians were called people of the way. What way? The way of the truth of the fall. What happened in the garden? By one man, sin entered this world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all way, all people. The way of conviction. The way of repentance. The way of salvation. The way, what is the way? It's the truth of justification by faith. Not only what happened in the garden, but what happened on the cross. When Christ was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's the way. The way of the fall, the way of what happened in the garden, what happened on the cross, and this way. The way of what happens in the heart of a sinner when God saves him. The way of holiness. The way of holiness. And when, by the grace of God, a person hears this gospel of the way. What is that way? Christ said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And when a person hears that gospel, the gospel of the way, and believes on our Lord Jesus Christ, that person knows who Christ is. He knows who the way is. He knows who the truth is. He knows who the life is. And he knows what Christ has done for him and what Christ has done in him. Not only for him, but in him. And he knows where Christ is, dwelling at the right hand of the Father, who ever liveth to make intercession for us. And that man who knows that way will walk in that way. He will walk in that way all the days of his life. And he'll grow stronger and stronger and stronger every day in that way. Now let me read my text. Job chapter 17. I want you to turn to Job 17. And I want to state my text and state it powerfully and with as much strength and as I can, and pray that the Spirit of God will give me some understanding of this scripture. In Job chapter 17, verse 9. Talking about the way now, the way of Christ, the way of salvation. The righteous also, people who are made righteous by the love of God and the grace of God and the work of the Spirit, the righteous also shall hold his way. And he that hath clean hands, purged with hyssop, washed whiter than the snow, clean hands, he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger and stronger every day. that he walks with that lover. Now, he may not travel with equal speed at all times. The scripture doesn't say he'll hold his pace. It says he'll hold the way. It doesn't say he'll hold the same equal pace all the way in growth and grace, but he'll hold his way. He may not travel all the time with equal enthusiasm. The scripture does not say that he will hold his zeal and hold his excitement. He may be, as Paul said, depressed, lonely, cast down. But he'll hold his way. He'll hold his way. He may not always travel with equal success. He may be rich, then he may be poor. He may be successful, and he may totally fail. He may walk through sickness and through days of hell. But bless God, he'll hold his way. Write it down. The righteous shall hold his way. And he will grow in grace. He will grow in faith. He will grow in love. For he that hath clean hands and a sincere heart and a love for Christ will grow stronger and stronger and stronger. And I give you five reasons. You write these down. At least, not on paper, but in your heart. I'll give you five reasons why the righteous, those who know Christ, who love Christ, who are saved by the grace of God, shall hold their way and grow stronger. They'll grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. Your faith groweth exceedingly, the scripture said. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. All right, number one, I'll tell you why the righteous will hold his way. He'll hold his way because of the work of God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. He will hold his way because of the work of God. We didn't save ourselves, God saved us. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I give thanks unto you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you. God hath from the beginning chosen you through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. God hath. It's the work of God. Salvation is the work of God. Salvation is of the Lord. All right, look at Romans 8. He'll hold his way because of the work of the Father. Verse 28, Romans 8. And we know this, that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Not he might be, could be, perhaps, that he shall be. The firstborn of many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called. Who's this we're talking about? The Father. Them he called. And whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, them also he glorified. The righteous shall hold his way because that's the way the Father does his work permanently, eternally. He that hath begun a good work in you, he'll perfect it unto the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the next verse. He'll hold his way because it's the work of the Son. Verse 32, listen. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not freely also give us all things with him? With him. Who's going to lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is he that condemneth? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. The righteous shall hold his way because of the work of the Father, the work of the Son. Now watch this, the verse. Who's going to separate me from the love of God? Tell me. Tell me who's going to take me out of his hands. Who's going to separate me from his love? Who's going to deny to me the blessings of his cross? Who's going to make the work of Christ, the blood of Christ, ineffectual? Who's going to do that? Listen. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for his sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, yea, nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, I am confident, the believer shall hold his way. You know why? I am persuaded neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, no powers, no things present, no things to come, no height, no depth, nor any other creature or anybody else shall be able to separate us from that love of the Father, the love of the Son, and the love of the Spirit, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a feather bind my wandering heart to thee. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. The righteous shall hold his way because of the work of the Father, of the Son, and of the Spirit. And he that hath begun a good work, he began it, shall perfect it, perform it, until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Second reason why the righteous shall hold his way. He'll hold his way because of the work, Father, Son, Spirit, and because of the words of Christ. Now turn to John chapter 10. The words of Christ. You know, the scripture says this about God's word. It said God's word has greater honor. God's word has greater honor than his name. Greater honor than his name. His word. My word shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish that whereunto I have sent it, the word of God. Now look at John 10. John 10, verse 11. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He that's a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, he sees the wolf cometh, and he leaves the sheep. He flees, and the wolf catches him and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling. He doesn't care for the sheep, but I'm the good shepherd. These are the words of the Lord. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I know them and they know me. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I'm known of them. And as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for my sheep. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. I shall bring. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me, I in no wise, under any circumstances, cast out. This is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he giveth me, I lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day. Other sheep I have, which are not of this present fold, I'm going to bring them too. And they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now look at verse 23 of that same chapter. John 10, 23. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And then came the Jews, the Pharisees and Sadducees round about him. And they said to him, now how long dost thou make us to doubt? If you be the Christ, if you be the Messiah, if you be the one for whom we look, just tell us plainly. Just tell us in simple words. Our Lord said, I told you. I told you and you didn't believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you don't believe me because you're not of my sheep. That's the reason you don't believe me. You're not of my sheep. You see, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me. And I give them what? Eternal life. Not temporary life, not life just in this world. I give them eternal life. That means ever, forever, and ever. Everlasting. And they'll never perish. And I'll tell you again, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And you know why? My Father gave them to me. My Father gave them to me. And which gave me them is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand, because I and my Father are one. The righteous shall hold his way because of the work of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and because of the words of our Savior. An army chaplain, I read this years ago, an army chaplain was visiting a hospital filled with wounded and dying soldiers during World War I. And he came to a young man whom they said was dying. And he was going to give him what they call the last rites. My friend, Brother Barnard, was in World War II. And he told me he was a chaplain. And he told me that the chaplain, when they found a person dying, whether it was a Baptist chaplain or a Catholic chaplain or whoever denomination it was, they had to do what that person required. So this chaplain, the Catholic chaplain, was going to give this boy the last rites of the Roman Church. And he said to the young man, he said, "What's your denomination?" And the soldier said, "Christ Jesus." He said, "I mean, son, what is your faith?" He said, "That's Christ Jesus too." But he said, "What I mean, son, is this. What is your persuasion?" Well, the young man said, "Sir, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day." That's my persuasion. That's mine. Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God, and nothing else is worth believing. Though all my heart should feel condemned for want of one sweet token, I know one who's greater than my heart, and his word cannot be broken. So I'll trust in Christ's unchanging word till soul and body sever. The words of men will pass away, but his word is forever. That's why the righteous will hold his way. Because of the work of the Father, Son, and Spirit, and because of the Word of God, the Word of Christ. He promised. Who was that famous black preacher? He wrote his life story, Rhapsody in Black. I'll think of his name in a minute. It just requires a little longer. Somebody asked him, said, they said, "If you get to heaven, you expect to enter heaven?" He said, "Yes, I do." He said, "If you get to heaven and they say unto you, you cannot enter here, You don't have enough righteousness. He said, what you going to say? He said, I'm going to say I'm not here on my righteousness. I'm here on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what if they turn you away anyway? He said, well, God will lose more than I lose. And he shocked the fellow. And he said, what do you mean by that? If they turn you away, God will lose more than you lose. He said, well, I'll lose my soul, but he'll lose his word because he promised. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And I believe. And his word cannot be broken. Can you take God at his word? His word cannot be broken. He promised. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. He's already passed from death to birth. Here's my third reason. The believer shall hold his way. And he'll grow stronger and stronger. Yes, he will. You see, anything that's alive grows. Isn't that true? This pulpit will never change. It's dead. It doesn't grow. My little great-grandson, he's getting stronger every day. He's beginning to talk a little bit. He's learning things. I expect him to grow up. I'd be terribly disappointed if he never grew. If he never learned anything. I'd be terribly disappointed in anybody that professes to be a son of God that won't grow. I'd be terribly disappointed. I just don't see how that such a thing is possible. We grow. And I'll tell you why. Because of the nature that he put within us. We have a new nature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away and all things are becoming new. Brethren, Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed in you. Salvation, not just believing a theology or a doctrine or some preacher's words. Salvation is Christ in you. I travail till Christ be formed in you. Christ in you, that's the hope of glory. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the person, by the faith of Christ who lives within. We don't just have a profession of religion, we've got a person within. You're partakers of his sufferings, and by being partaker of his suffering, you're partaker of his nature. We have a divine nature, Christ in you. I know we have this old flesh and nature to contend with till God puts it in the grave. He's going to put this nature in the grave, but that new nature, that Christ in you, that new principle, that new nature that he gave you by new birth, it goes to glory. It doesn't go to the grave. The flesh goes to the grave and goes, it rots. It goes back to the dust from which it came. But I didn't come from the dust. I came from God. My new nature came from God. It didn't come from the dust. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of God is spirit. Being born again. That's what the scripture said. Born again. Not a corruptible seed. That's the way I was born the first time. Corruptible seed. The seed of my father. And it's going back to the dust. But I was born the second time of incorruptible seed. Eternal seed. The seed of God. The life of God. I was born of incorruptible seed. The word of God. Which liveth and abideth forever. New nature. And this life is a righteous spiritual life that never sins. What did you say? I said, just what you heard me say.
Exactly. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed, that incorruptible seed, remains in him. It's put within him. He's born of that incorruptible seed. It remains in him. And he cannot sin because he's born of God. That's the nature that's going to glory. All things of God. And that old nature is going to the dirt. It's going to the dust. But that new nature in us. I read one time about one of those old timers that the Lord saved. He was a rounder. What is a rounder? I hear people say, boy, he's been a rounder all his life. Goes in circles or something. He's a rounder. He was a rounder. But the Lord saved him under the ministry of Mr. Whitfield. This man was well saved. That's what Barney used to call him, well saved. And he left his old crowd and his old vocation, his old way, and old things, all things became new. And several months and weeks passed, and he was walking down the street one day, and he saw some of his old cronies. Some of his old friends he used to loaf with and run with and sin with. And he tried to avoid them. You know, he tried to duck his head. They said, hey, that's Fred. And he turned and said, it's not me. And he turned and started running. He said, it's not me. I'm a new Fred. It's not me. It's really not. Sometimes we act like it, but we're really not. We're new creatures. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. It's a new life. It's a life of love and not hate. It's a victorious life. It's an overcoming life. It's a life that grows stronger and stronger. You know, the Apostle Peter, in the early days, he succumbed to fear. He was sitting around that fire warming his hands when they took our Lord to crucify him. And a little old girl came up and said, you're one of them. He said, no, I'm not. He's scared. When she said, you're one of them, I bet every one of those old rough fellas looked at him, you know, glared at him. And he said, no, I'm not. And she said, I know your speech betrays you. Well, if my speech betrayed me, I'd just cuss a little. So he did. And he said, I'm not one of them. But when he did, he looked up. And there was the master. Walking down the pilot's runway. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And he never did do that again. He once denied his Lord. He once chickened out. He once gave up. He didn't do that again. He grew in grace. And that's what our Lord said to him. He said, when you're converted, you're going to be a strong leader among your people. You'll strengthen your brethren. And we need salvation. We need conversion. We need to grow in grace. We need to be sanctified. That's right. Everybody's scared of the word progressive sanctification. Well, call it what you want to. Call it growth in grace or whatever you want to. But it's growing. It's growing up. It's maturing. It's acting like a believer ought to act. That's growing. He'll feel stronger. Stronger, stronger. Here's the fourth reason. He's going to hold his way because Christ intercedes for him. He's not left alone. Our Lord's praying for you. Let me show you that. Turn to Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 31. Luke 22, verse 31. Let's see if I can find Luke 22, verse 31. The Apostle Peter, he was so aggressive, he was so
outspoken. But the Lord said to him in Luke 22, verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Ooh, put you on that sifter, you know. Sift you. Find out what you're really made of. But look at verse 32. But I've prayed for you. The Lord Jesus said, Simon, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. And listen, here he comes again. And he said unto the Lord, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and death. He wasn't quiet, was he? Is he not saved? Oh, he knows the Lord. He knows the Lord. He certainly does. He's the one that said, and the Lord said, whom do you say that I am? He said, you're the Christ. You're the Son of God. He said, blessed are you, Peter. My Father, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. My Father revealed that to you. And if my Father revealed it to you, you know it. And he's going to grow. But I've prayed for you. I'm ready to go to the prison of death. And he said, Peter, I'm going to tell you, the cock shall not crow this day before you shall three times deny that you know me. But I prayed for you. And my Father, I always do those things that please my Father. And he always prays according to the will of the Father. And he said to Peter, I prayed for you, and you'll never be lost. I prayed for you. Turn to John 17. See if this is not exactly what we're saying here. The righteous shall hold his way because the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for him. He's praying for me. I'd hate to be standing up here trying to preach without him praying for me, wouldn't you? What a miserable failure. What a miserable failure. John 17, listen. Verse 9. I pray, Father. I don't pray for the world. I pray for them which thou hast given me. For they're thine. And all mine are thine. And thine are mine. And I'm glorified in them. The Lord Jesus is praying for us. The Holy Spirit is praying for us. That's right. Turn, if you will, to the book of Romans, chapter 8. The Holy Spirit prays for us. The Holy Spirit prays for us. Romans 8, listen. Verse 24. Listen to this. Romans 8, 24. We're saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. What a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also himself helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. I wish I could. But I tell you this, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And our Lord Jesus Christ says, Christ died, verse 34. Who is he that condemned? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that's risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. Now, did I tell you the truth this morning? The righteous shall hold his way because of the work of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The righteous shall hold his way and be stronger and stronger because of the words of Christ. I give them eternal life. They'll never perish. Because also that new nature It's not an old nature, it's a new nature. It's a spiritual nature. It's Christ in us. Christ in us. And because He's praying for us. And here's the last one. The righteous shall hold his way and grow stronger and stronger because of the everlasting covenant. An everlasting covenant. The word covenant is in the Bible over 300 times. God is a covenant God. And David said, the sweet psalmist of Israel and the Lord's king and David the shepherd came to die. He was about 75 years old and David's life was over and the Lord's going to take him away. And he was lying on this bed, about to leave the earth, about to leave and go to glory. And he made a statement. And these be the last words of David, the very last words. Although it be not so with my house, God hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And this is all my salvation and all my desire. Although he make it not to grow. Doesn't look like that now. I'm dying and everybody else is dying. Doesn't look like he's making it to grow. But he's making it to grow. He's making it to grow. The everlasting covenant. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, thank you for this word.